FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's November 7th, 2017. Hey, couple of housekeeping matters. First, the RSS feed is back online. If you subscribe through iTunes, which you definitely should do, you'll see that it'll automatically be refreshed. You'll get the latest episodes automatically delivered to the iTunes application on your Mac or PC. So, we want you to be part of the show. We want you to get involved. Send us an email with whatever your thoughts are to kl@kerrylutz.com. And don't forget the Twitter feed @KerryLutz. So you've been hearing about how the police are so racist, not so much during the Trump regime, but certainly during the Obama regime. And we've seen the results of this war on police and putting the police on the defensive. Look no further than Baltimore, than what, St. Louis? And, of course, Chicago. There's no longer such a thing as proactive policing, it seems like, in many of our cities. New York, you've seen the mayor declare war on the police and then hastily back off. And, well, New York is probably the exception that proves the rule. But what you really want to know is this racist meme about the police, is it true? If you are an African American or other minority, do you have to fear from the police? Well, good questions. Stephen Thayer is on with us now. Stephen, you're a former judge, former U.S. attorney, so you kind of know a little bit about this and your responsibilities. You're responsible for holding the police accountable in civil rights actions. So we welcome you to the show, and thanks for being on.
Kerry, it's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for having me on.
So what is it? Is it racism? Is it just something to complain about to justify the existence of Black Lives Matters and Antifa? Or is there some merit, some substance to this?
Well, I don't believe there is merit to it. I do know that there are some police officers who engage in illegal conduct, and they should be held accountable. But what took me out of retirement and have me work with the Law Enforcement Action Network is the unprecedented attack on law enforcement, both physically. I mean, they're being shot, they're being killed, they're being called racist. And the liberals like to describe them as such. And then in August of this year, the FBI put out a document that talks about Black identity extremists who are out killing police officers. And in the report, they talk about Dallas, where 11 police officers were shot, 5 were killed, and the police officers were protecting a Black Lives Matter march. And there are other indications of this assassination mindset that is in the report, to include Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and other areas in New York where police officers were assassinated in their squad car. Now, what's happening, as I see it, is that these, and as the report points out, these extremists are being motivated by those folks who say all cops are racist. So we're denigrating all law enforcement officers because of the conduct of a few, which is just plain wrong. Then there are other things that people point to that are motivating factors, at least the FBI points to. And they say that all of this anti-police activity really took hold after Ferguson. And we all remember how everyone was walking around with their hands up, don't shoot, after Michael Brown was shot by Officer Wilson. And it later turned out that hands up, don't shoot never happened. And yet it propelled the Black Lives Matter organization and concept. Now, I looked at some of the FBI statistics when it comes to this racism thing, and I saw that in 2015, there were 995 people killed by police officers. 259, or 25%, were African Americans. So this concept that the police are out just to shoot African Americans is discredited by the statistics. And in last year, 2016, 963 people were killed. 233 of them were Black, or 24%. But what the liberal people and what the Black Lives Matter folks want you to believe is that the reason they say law enforcement is racist is because blacks make up only 13% of the population, yet they're being arrested at a higher rate. So I went and I looked and I said, okay, what did the FBI crime statistics show? Well, in 2016, when it came to murder or negligent homicide, those folks who were arrested, 45% of those were white and 53% were black, far larger number than the 13% representing the population. Robbery, 44 of those arrested were white, 44%. 55% were black. And the most startling statistic I saw was that for those who were arrested under the age of 18 for murder or negligent manslaughter, 36% were white, 69% were black. So the reason over 13% of those arrested are black is because they're responsible for more than 13% of the crime. And so I started looking at some more numbers. I said, well, Black Lives Matter says Black Lives Matter. Well, if they really do, let's look at where black lives are being lost. And if you look at even just take Chicago, as you mentioned earlier, so far this year, 557 people have been killed. Of that number, 445 were black. And when you look at the thousands of African-Americans who are killed every year or last year, in those instances where we know the race of the assailant and the victim, 90% of the time, a black victim is killed by a black assailant. So I think it's time we step back and looked at this all police are racism thing, which is just generating anti-police behavior. And in some cases, the extremists are actually ambushing police. And we look and say, if I'm a member of the black community, where should I be focusing my where should my focus be and where should my resources be? And I think some of the football players and others should go to Chicago, to the inner cities and the various other cities and mentor these young folks and tell them about the importance of education, of a work ethic, and stop killing one another.
All right, so, Stephen, once upon a time, the African-American community had a really high level of two-parent families, 85%. It seems to have all gone downhill since then, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think there's a breakdown in the family. And when you look at the inner cities, you look at the educational opportunities, you look at the job picture for them. And oftentimes, they feel the only way to get ahead is to engage in illegal conduct. And that's bad for certain sections, let's say, of Chicago that are 93 or 94% minority. And that's where we see a lot of the crime.
Mm. We certainly do. And nobody wants to talk about the destruction or the implosion of the African-American family as being the cause of this. They'd rather blame it on the police. And like you said, yes, there are policemen who have done things that, are not good or really an embarrassment to the force. But the majority of these people who comprise the nation's police departments and sheriff's departments are people that just want to help serve and protect, right?
Absolutely. These men and women leave their homes every day to protect us. They don't know what the day is going to bring. They don't know if they're going to be faced with trying to arrest a felon who's shooting at them. They don't even know if they're coming home. And to all of a sudden paint all law enforcement officers with the racism brush makes no sense. And as that FBI report points out, it motivates people to go out and disrespect and in some cases assassinate police officers. And that is obviously a main concern. The FBI report also says that in 2016, there were 57,000 officers assaulted. In 2016, 66 of them were killed, which is up from 41 officers who were killed in 2015. And that's killed by felonious acts of another. So this is protecting us isn't easy, but these folks do it. We ought to respect them when we interact with them. We should follow directions and don't try the case out on the street. Wait till you get into a court of law.
And going back to the Michael Brown case, I mean, he was just a gentle giant, wasn't he? He didn't mean any harm.
He was a thug.
Yeah.
Well, he was a thug. And yes. He turned on a police officer and tried to take the police officer's gun from him so he could shoot him. But the false narrative that went out almost immediately of his hands up, don't shoot, never, ever happened. But no one talks about that. It was a myth. Mm. It was perpetrated by people who, for some reason, felt they could get an advantage by telling that story. And I mean, as we know, there are members of Congress and their staff on the Capitol steps with their hands up and the hands up, don't shoot configuration. And it never happened.
Yeah, we know that. That's for sure. Because he shot from within the car. The glass proved it. And if the guy had his hands up, why was he shooting from inside the car? You know, none of the statements of these of the evidence, supposed evidence, really worked out, did it? There's no other explanation.
And that was Holder's Justice Department and Obama's Justice Department. But what they've done, they were part and parcel of this defaming and slandering the police, because the consent decrees that they've entered into with police forces are based on the fact that the Department of Justice then said that the police departments were racist. And what did they do? They said, well, there are only 13% of the population is black, and since you've arrested more than 13%, aha, see, you're a racist, and you don't even know you're racist.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because there are some places, like in Chicago, as I mentioned earlier, that are 94 to 96% African-American.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole thing is a little bit bizarre. If you ever watch any of these police shows on TV, like Cops, like Live PD, though they're on camera, they're showing these people, in my opinion, probably too much deference. They're very low-key and very, you know, deferential law enforcement. Maybe it's not a bad thing, I don't know, but it seems to me that it's just they've gone way too far in the opposite direction.
Well, and you raised it earlier. It's causing these police officers to second-guess themselves and to not engage in proactive policing. After Ferguson, the message to all law enforcement officers was, even if you've done nothing wrong, you could be pilloried in the press, your family could be threatened. And so they are now holding back, and proof of it is that crime is starting to rise again.
Yeah, and in places like Baltimore, Judge, are out of control, and Chicago, and so many other cities. And this reversed a multi-decade trend towards safer cities around the country. You know, something's got to be done about this. It's not right. Hey, if you just tuned in, got Stephen Thayer with us now, former justice on the New Hampshire Supreme Court, and your former U.S. attorney. And Judge, what is the solution to this? How do we progress from this point, put the Obama years behind us, and treat people fairly, but also proactively police, which is proven to drive crime rates down?
I think the only thing we can do now is we have to offset the false narratives that are out there about police. We have to educate people. We have to advocate for law enforcement, and that's partly what our organization does. We try to ensure that people get the facts so that they can reach their own conclusions, and understand the generalizations that are being made that are just plain wrong. The vilification of law enforcement officers, just plain wrong, and certainly the assaulting, shooting, and ambushing and killing of police officers cannot be tolerated.
Yeah. Well, you know, in the good old days here, this never happened, right? But in the world we live in now, there is seems to be greatly diminished respect for the police. And when their hands are tied, the respect for the police really does diminish, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And I'll tell you, you look at the single mother in an urban area who's concerned about their children being shot or them themselves being shot. They want to call 911 and know that someone's going to respond in a timely fashion. And I don't believe that mother cares what color the police officer is. That mother wants to be protected. And we, as a society, have to protect her. But when our own leadership and some of the politicians and some of the liberal elite attack police officers, then they can't do their job and they can't help that single mother out.
What do you think this liberal elite, what is their game plan here? What are they trying to accomplish?
It's hard to determine that. Other than being able to perpetuate this this narrative of racism, for some reason, there are people who think there's an advantage to doing that. But I look at our country, I look at our people. I said I'm retired, but I've never seen it like this. But I'm hopeful. I really believe that the pendulum will swing back when people get and believe and understand that law enforcement officers are not all racist. They're not all criminals. They're here to protect us. Treat them with respect. And when we get a bad apple, we have a police officer who's done something wrong, hold that police officer accountable. Everyone expects it, and that's what should happen.
Hey, agreed. So we want to find out more about you, read your work, Judge. Now that you're out of retirement, where do we go?
Well, we go to the Law Enforcement Action Network. If people just Google that, our website will pop up, and you can read about our organization. You can read about some of the facts and figures that we've put out there to help educate folks, which will go a long way, I think, to trying to undercut this liberal elitist concept that all police officers are racist.
All right. Well, hey, Judge, thanks so much for coming on. Hey, again, we invite you to join the show. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. Twitter feed is @KerryLutz, and the Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Hey, Judge, good luck in your efforts here, and we really applaud what you're doing.
Thank you, Kerry. I appreciate it very much.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.